See, that's a good way to get started. I am having trouble connecting. So y'all pray for me. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah, I'm not sure why I'm up here. I think I got tricked into it, especially when I look out and I see our brother Bob out there, and you know, and certainly brother Dale being here. My goodness, I was tricked. So y'all pray for me. Certainly not a minister for sure, so you can lower your expectations to begin with. But certainly, you know, being a Christian, that certainly means that I have experiences of God changing my life for sure. That's number one. And certainly life experiences as well. You know, growing up in this message has certainly been experiences that I've had. And Lord just put it on my heart to share something related to some of the experiences that I had since I became a Christian. So I'm certainly honored. I don't take it for granted to be up in front of the Bride of Christ. It's a real privilege to be here standing in front of you. And I wanted to take a topic today, something that, you know, we deal with every time, every day, something that we all have experience with, I am sure. Something we talk about, I'm sure, every day. Something you deal with every day. Something we talk about and pray about at every service. And it's money. Money. So it's very real. You work for it. You live for it. You try to save it. You certainly spend it. You borrow it. You try to invest it. You know, different languages have different terms that they use. Moolah, dough. You can go on and on. Money. So it's a real thing. But I want to talk about what financial jubilee. And you know what jubilee, if you look at the Hebrew word for jubilee, we know that as freedom. We know that as a celebration, a time of jubilee. But jubilee, really, the Hebrew word for that is the trumpet, the ram's horn that was used to announce the jubilee. So that jubilee is really a trumpet. And there's a quote from Brother Brenham. He says, when the trumpet sounded, every man could go free if he wanted to go free. It was a choice that you had to make if you wanted to go free. And that's very, very important, because that choice comes down to us. And you would ask, why would someone not want to go free? I mean, that seems very easy. If I said you can go free, say, I want to go free. But freedom comes with a cost. So slavery, if you think about slavery at those times, why would someone not want to go free? Well, it's work. It's hard. It's difficult. We get used to certain things. We get comfortable. So financially, we can be comfortable in our current society where it's based on you borrow, you go in debt, you do what you have to do really to get by. But you get satisfied. You get used to it as the norm. It just becomes standard. This is the way we live. But when that trumpet sounds, you can go free if you want to go free. But it's work. It's hard. It's difficult. But there's freedom. And that's what financial jubilee is all about. How did I even get to this topic? Well, I've had some experiences in my life when God got a hold of me. My parents, my dad, many of you, certainly the older ones, know my dad. We come from a poor background. My dad was an extremely hard worker, period. I know Brother Gary, he worked with my dad early on. No one could outwork my dad. It was impossible. He still works today. So he's 83 years old. He's still going. You can't stop him. He drives from Hartwell, Georgia to Macon. He go to the service down in Macon. He's still doing that. So Sunday's up, I'm going 4 hours away. He's driving. So my dad is a hard worker, but financially we struggled. I remember $375 was our monthly rent, and my dad had a hard time sometimes coming up with that. Of course, he worked. He paid the people that worked with him, but he didn't really manage any of that. So the money would come in, it would go out. God in his grace allowed me to go to college. That was a whole testimony in of itself in Maryland. Got out of college and I thought I was smart. Man, I thought I was really smart. I was making some money that my dad had never seen that type of money before. And my brother was doing the same thing, making some real money. We was like, wow. So we got into real estate. Him and I started looking at houses. We knew some other brothers that were borrowing money to buy houses and rehab them and sell them. So we started doing all of that. And we sold one house and we made some good money. I thought, oh my, I'm a Christian. This is how God is going to bless me. I'm going to be blessed. My. Was I in for a surprise? 2007, 2008. Y'all know what happened. If it was in any type of real estate, it went, money started going out left and right. We started losing everything that we thought we ever had. We lost a whole lot of money, to say the least. So I was shocked into this. It got so bad. Thousands, 10, 20,000, gone, gone, gone. Every day the market was going like this. We got down to one property that we had to try to get rid of. And this was a condo. And this condo, they had a huge electric panel where the electric meter goes in. So we got our condo. It was all ready to sell. We were going to be done. By God's grace, we're going to get out of it. Called the electrician to come out to put the electric meter in. They came out and said, it's broke. There's a plastic piece inside the meter, and they can't get it in. I said, oh, okay, well, they said, you need to call the Homeowners Association to get this worked on. We called. They came out and said, no, you got to get the entire thing replaced, not just your box, because it's connected to all of the condos. This is going to be about $10,000 for you to fix. I'm like, oh, my God, Lord, what in the world is going on here? My brother, who is in construction as well, he said, John, whatever you do, don't bother that electric panel. It can boom. That could be it. I'm like, I hear you. I understand. But I was under intense stress. So I went and looked at that panel, and it truly was a little small plastic piece that was broke. And I'm like, if I could just move that plastic piece out of the way, it'll be fine. So I could do it. I mean, I'm pretty steady. Just have my screwdriver, some rubber shoes on. I'm fine. I can get this plastic piece and get this $10,000 out of the way. I don't know what happened. I don't know how steady I was. But I touched that thing. Boom! All I know, I was probably about 10 feet back by the time I came to, and a chunk of that metal had been blown off. I don't know what happened, but I know God in His grace spared my life. I do know that. Of course, I didn't touch it after that. Believe me, I didn't touch it. And I know it was the grace of God, because we called another electrician. They came out, called me later, said, hey, we fixed it. That's all they said. I said, well, okay, how much? They said, don't worry about it. We've never seen anything like that. That's all they said. I said, okay, praise God. But I went home and I started praying. I said, Lord God, something's wrong. I've been paying my tithes. I've been doing what I know to be right. I've always been tried to manage my money the best that I could. But Lord, something's not right. And that's when God started saying, yep, you've been trying to do it your way, the world's way. You've been a slave. God has a way to manage money, and it's called God's way. Let's go to the next slide. And when you talk about money, certainly it's not just money. And that's what I've come to realize. You know, God, in His word, you can read plenty of scriptures about it. You can also go through the message and see it. But He's saying, if you therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is worldly wealth, who will commit to your trust the true riches? That's Luke 16:1. That's what it's all about. It's about managing something that's, we all know, we can all relate to, but God is trying to see how well we can do that to put us in a position to manage true riches. And I know we know all what that's about, all of the true riches, to be able to manage that with character. And that's what He's trying to get. And it's something that anybody from the youngest age can relate to. Money. How do you manage it? You can look at your children. How do they spend? How do they save? Do they have any character to save anything? Or do they always spend? Do they borrow? Are they just used to the norm? So that's what Financial Jubilee is about. It's about bringing that out. Go to the next slide. If you look at our society, so 80% of Americans have some form of consumer debt. That's an average of 38,000 of Americans, which we're supposed to be the richest nation on earth. But 80%. So if we brought 10 people up here, 8 of you could sit down. You got some level of debt. 2 of you would be a little special. 70% of lottery winners spend it. Dave Ramsey said that. 78% of former NFL players have gone bankrupt or in financial distress due to joblessness or divorce. That's from their own magazine, Sports Illustrated. So it's very real. It's not about how much money you have or how little. but it's a how you manage what God has given you. Let's go to the next slide. It's the number one reason for arguments among couples. The number one reason for divorce. The love of it, as we know, is the root of all evil. Clearly stated, you can serve it or God. That's how real it is. Keep going. Go to the next, brothers. If we talk about our uncle, we know who that is. That's Uncle Sam, right? So looking at 2020. So as a country, we brought in everybody, when you pay your taxes, that's how the government gets all of their money. They brought in about $3.6 trillion. They spent or promised to pay about $13.4 trillion. So they overspent $9.8 trillion in 2020. We know with the pandemic, all the money going out, the little pieces that you got, well, that was a part of that $9.8 trillion that they just gave you over and beyond what they had. So we already know what our prophet said about this nation, that it is bankrupt. If you look at the full outstanding bills of our government, it's $123 trillion. That's about 796,000 per person. If we had to all pay that back, that's how much it would be. So if you got that in your wallet, you can write your check and you can be free. It's $123 trillion. Now, $123 trillion is a big number in and of itself. Like, if I tried to tell you what a trillion looks like, it's very hard to imagine. But if I were to take $1 million, no, I'm going to give you $10 million. Tell me how long you think you could spend it to reach $1 trillion. You probably think, well, maybe a year if you're trying to do your math. No, it'll be past 100 years, past 200 years. You mean you can spend $10 million a day for over 200 years and you still haven't reached a trillion? Try 273 years to spend $10 million a day. You couldn't spend a trillion. Oh my. So think about what our prophet is saying. Who's going to pay that? Who's going to even help? I think you already know. I know y'all have been taught well because I've been here for several years. So Rome is going to help solve this problem. My, my, my. And Brother Brenham said, right in the money, we'll get this whole thing rolling. So where do you think we're headed? So my. We definitely want to be free people by his grace. Go to the next slide. So we always talk about the government, right? And we're like, oh man, that's bad. That's, oh man, that's terrible. This quote says, if God gives us things to do and gives us money and makes us the richest nation under the heaven, then God's going to ask, what did we do with it? Why do we spend our money for things that satisfy not only a nation, but that'll be to individuals. That's each one of us, my brothers and sisters. Each one of us has to manage what God gives us in a way that it's different from the world. The only way you can do that is God's way. That's the only way to do this. Go to the next. So we got to talk about financial bondage, because before God helped me, I didn't know. I thought I was, like I said, I thought I was smart. I thought I had figured it out. I thought God was going to bless me richly. And it wasn't until God started showing me, no, you are way off. So the question you got to ask yourself, am I free or am I comfortable with this, what this world and America has created me? Am I in financial bondage? I don't know. If you went to the doctors, you got to do some checkups, some physical. They got to tell you what kind of condition you are. So we're going to run through some quick symptoms to see if you fit into any of this. Let's go to the first. Next slide. All right, we're going to run through some of this. Number one, are you always worried about money? Okay, that's money and marriage problems, arguments in the home, frustrations, maybe too much month at the end of the money. The money runs out and you still got a long way to go. Is that going on in your home? Number two, this is what I call bailout. This is the big one. Especially now more than ever, it's like you can go to YouTube and find 1,000 ways to make $10,000 next month. It's not going to happen, let me tell you. But are you looking for some kind of bailout? You know what I mean? You're ignoring reality. You got problems with money. You're in debt. You got situations that you know you need to handle, but you're hoping for a bailout. Something's going to happen. Okay, something's going to happen. It's going to take care of all of these problems. You want different results, but you haven't changed anything. And you look at history. I mean, we're at the end, right? We're at the end of time. You know, we know that. We should be a people that should be free. Free from religious bondage, free from all of those things that history has stacked us to this point. We know the scripture that's always used in this church, that they without us cannot be made perfect. You know, and the end of times have come to us. But have we learned? I mean, have we learned from everything, all of history? I think of our prophet and what he brought. Everything has advanced. Everything has advanced. But it seems like, and I'm not saying this to be, maybe for myself, we should be way up the road with everything because we should be getting ready to go. Everything. But take your money. Are we ready to go? Are you clean? Is it polished that you are really standing ready to go? If God were to say, let's go, or do we have outstanding bills and debts and we're in a mess? Are we? Because if we're really ready to go, we have to be ready to go in all areas of our life. And I truly believe that's what God is doing to us, trying to prepare us for that. Number two, so is it we're looking for a bailout? We're looking for something different. Every get rich quick or hey, this opportunity is going to solve all my problems. This will take care of it. Well, that's how I kind of started. I thought God was going to bless me and it's going to be, woo, I'm going to show I'm a Christian. He did the opposite. So that's the bailout. If you have those kind of thoughts, you're looking for some easy way. That's the bailout. The next is cover up. This is postponing the issue. This is not being truthful with your spouse, your husband, wife. You may know situations in your family that, hey, you're not telling your spouse. If you're young and you're dating, that's a good topic to kind of get through. Make sure she's not going to bring some bills with her or he's not going to bring some bills with him. Make sure you understand that. Those are things to talk about. But you can go through life, your whole journey, and not share things with your spouse because it's kind of embarrassing. Yeah, I never paid this off. I never paid that off. Well, what you waiting for? I mean, if God were to take you home, you don't have that left on your spouse. Something she has to deal with. I've seen that. I've experienced that. Young and old alike, I've seen that. In the church, I've seen that. So it's very, very real. So don't have any cover-up situations. Not truthful to your family, friends. Digging the hole deeper to maintain an image. That's all about cover-up. The next is greed. And this is certainly something that you feel like, well, I deserve it. It should be me. You know, how did they get that? You're not content. Impulse buying. You buy things on impulse. Don't talk about it. You know, hey, that's kind of a little bit of greed. Next is resentment. You know, pointing the finger. Feel like God not giving you what you want. And you're envious of others around financial concerns and money and things. Indulgence. Creating happy moments. You know, you can't afford it, so you buy more. That's called a great escape. You know, it's time to take a vacation when you start thinking about money. Like, you know what? We got to go. Yeah, we need a vacation. We need some happy experiences. I know this one for sure. When I started losing that money was going down. Like, I could watch it, especially being an accountant. I was literally watching it go down. But guess what? Part of that time, I went out and test drove a new SUV. And I thought, hey, it's bad, but I'm about to feel good. And I drove that car around. I was like, man, but by his grace, God was like, no, you don't need it. You need to deal with the problem. But it felt good. And I thought, man, if I could get this, it'll kind of make me feel better for all this money that I lost. And I didn't have any money to buy it. But I guarantee you, the world will tell you, you deserve it. John, you've been working hard, buddy. You've been working hard. You've been a faithful tithe payer. You can get this. Just sign these loan documents. You can get it. And then God will bless you. I don't sound like God blessing me. It sounds like Visa or MasterCard or that bank is blessing me. But that's what we call indulgence. The next one is called no plan. You don't know what happened, right? You know that. You know that situation. Every month, you know what bills should be due. But you don't know what happened. So you come and can I borrow this? Can I borrow that? I don't know what happened. Well, I know what happened. You had some bills and you didn't have the money. You didn't work. You didn't save. You didn't put it aside. Guarantee your property tax, gas, all that's going to come. Those bills are going to keep coming. So you need to keep some good records. Don't be slothful. Have a plan. Number eight, middleman. This is living paycheck by paycheck. There's no margin. All that comes in goes out. During the pandemic, we know, I mean, credit card, people was using that to make ends meet. I mean, it was no kind of security. If our government, as you saw, if they had a plan, we wouldn't have spent $9.8 trillion over. But there was no plan. There was nothing set aside to be prepared for that. But we want to make sure within our home we don't have that. Nine is help wanted. This is being unable to help when the real need arises. Your kids, your parents. I like to call this one like the, hey, the broke Good Samaritan. If that Good Samaritan was broke, that Bible story would be very different. I promise you, he would not have sent that man to that hotel. It would not have happened. He would have been like looking at him like, bruh, I can't take you home and I can't, man, good luck. But the Bible story is quite different than that. He had something. He had something to say, hey, leave him here, whatever, I'll take care of it when I get back. And I promise you, you didn't have to go to Visa or MasterCard to take care of that. So we want to make sure that we're in a position where we can help, truly. Then we know the debt trap. You know, this is not saving, this is not borrowing, this is borrowing and being in that trap. All right, real quick. So those are symptoms. You can think about that. Let's go to the next slide. The only way to get out of all of this, right, you got to have some principles and standards. I like to call it a GPS. If you're kind of lost with all of this, how do we figure it out? Well, God has some principles. He has some standards that can help guide you. And that's what you have to take his word to guide you through all of this. He knows exactly where each one of you are, just like a GPS. And he can direct you all to that one way and get you back on that path that you have to be on. All right, go to the next slide. We'll run through this. For example, this is one of the things. Prepare thy work. If you look at the scriptures, and this is certainly for some of the young people coming up, how well that word guides us. It says, prepare thy work without and make ready for it in the field and afterwards build your house. So before you run down and you get married, make sure you have a plan. Make sure you have a way to provide. Then you start building your house. Don't take that first step. You don't know if that young lady is going to want a Coach bag, a Versace or whatever they call it, all this stuff. Hey, you better make sure you can take care of her. Likewise, make sure, sister, that you're prepared for your husband. Make sure he don't have a bass boat, five guns and all this. And he's thinking he's going to have what his granddaddy had tomorrow. You better make sure because you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. So you can see how easy and how well our word is designed to guide us in whatever phase of life that we are in. We're going to run through in the next couple minutes just some of the principles. Principle number one, always know God owns it all. The 10% tithes, they're his, and the 90%. We pay our tithes and we think, well, the 90%, I guess I can do whatever I want to. No, he just gave that to you for you to manage, entrusted it to you, but it's still his. So we don't waste our money, we're wasting his money. So it's important to think about how you're spending your money and know that God owns it all. Principle two, manage his resources diligently. Get organized. The scripture says the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Get organized. Write some things down. That's all you, it doesn't have to be fancy, but write some things down. Try to get organized. Take baby steps, one step at a time. Money is time. You purchase stuff with your time. Don't swap any portion of your allotted time on earth for useless stuff. You're getting paid $25 an hour. If you waste that money, that's 25. That's an hour of your time that you just said it was nothing. So it's time to think about it. Think about, what am I doing? You know, if your kids are wasting or whatever's going on, think about what you're doing, because that is your life that you're trading. And the world has been designed that way. You work and you get paid. So it's your time. You got to think about that. Number four, delayed gratification is one of the keys to financial maturity. Okay? It says learning to wait. That is so important. Learning to wait. Simply don't spend more than you earn. Wait. It's so much character into waiting, saving, building. I promise you, you buy a car brand new for $50,000. It's easy to sign that loan. Promise you. You save $50,000, you'll be a different person. You will definitely think about before you spend that money. I know for a fact, we bought in Maryland, before God taught me these principles, we had a 40-year loan on a house. And I know they got next-generation loans. You can pass it to your kids if you want. 40-year loan. And I remember going in the house, we had a house built. We walked in, they didn't do some things right. But we were so thrilled to borrow that we couldn't tell him. We felt, well, we're being blessed with this loan. We can't disturb some situations, you know. We'll take it. But if I had that money, I promise you, I'd be like, no, you're going to fix that, or we're not buying the house. We'll take our thousands of dollars somewhere else. So you can see what debt does. It puts you into a different frame of mind. Go to the next slide. Principle 5, winter is coming. I'm sorry. It says, avoid debt like the curse. The well tells us that we deserve to have it. But as a Christian, we don't deserve debt. Oh, I love this scripture. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Man, that's how you want to be blessed. You don't want to be blessed, and now you have some headaches trying to pay back some bills. That's not the way God wants to bless you. Amen. Principle 6, winter is coming. Save a little bit. Don't spend all that comes in. Don't live to the max. We already know the scripture that's been thousands and thousands of years. Go to the ant. Go to the ant. You're not going to be the same man 20 years from now that you are today. My dad, although he works hard, he's definitely not the same man that he was when he was 50. At our brother Ray's funeral, my dad was talking to me. He was like, God, he said, I wish I was that young man that I used to be. My dad doesn't talk much, but somehow he was reflecting on that at our brother's funeral. He said, man, I could really go out there and do a lot. I was like, Dad, you're absolutely right. You did that probably until you're like 60 or 70. But now he knows that, hey, he's just not that same. I wish I had my strength. So that's what we got to look at. We don't know how long we're going to be here, but it's still kind of think through like, okay, I can't live to the max. I have to put something away just in case God still has me here or my spouse years from now. Principle 7, the best investment, of course, is given to the kingdom of God. Your allotted returns is waiting for you at home. We know that. And of course, the last, contentment is learned. So everything I'm talking about is you have to practice. Just like the statue of a perfect man, it's something that you got to walk. You got to do it every day until that character is built inside of you. Paul said, and to get contentment is not something I can give you. But if you apply these principles, it's something that you can learn. Paul said, I know how to be abound and I know how to abase. He learned by the grace of God. So that's something we could do. Let's go to the next slide as we finish up. This quote really means a lot. And this was something that really stood out to me when God was dealing with me during these times. For sure, you know, this quote, our prophet said, clean up your lives, pay your debts. Oh, no, man. Jesus said, get all things off your hands. Get everything right. Make ready. Get ready. Remember, in the name of the Lord, something is fixing to happen. That's what these principles are all about. It's about cleaning your lives, getting things ready, you know, not owing anyone, getting yourselves diligent, writing things down in just the way that you do. Write it down. Take envelopes, whatever you have to do to get yourselves organized, to talk to people that you may owe money on. Just get yourself cleaned up. God is there to help. I know from experience, because we started applying these principles step by step, step by step. We started getting rid of things that we didn't need. We started selling things. We started doing everything that we could do to get ourselves out of that hole. I didn't take any shortcuts. And by not taking any shortcuts, God showed me his way. And I have proved it. I have proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt what God can do when you start applying his principles. He's there to help. He wants to get our lives ready. That's his goal. That's what he wants to do. And he wants us to be free from this bondage, from this world. We shouldn't look like the world. We know that. But our finances, our homes, all of that should also not look like the world. And the only way to do that is with that GPS, God's principles and standards. Last slide as we close and the musicians can get ready to come up. Go ahead and click, brothers. You can go to the next. That's what we're trying to strive for. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler of many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's very real. That's what our God is trying to prepare us for, to get us to be that faithful servant. Of course, money is a little thing, but being faithful, faithful with that little thing is a very, very big thing. So God bless y'all. Certainly appreciate this opportunity. And the musicians, y'all can come on up.